Welcome to tonight's Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program on the Citizens Climate Lobby that provides supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is managing money in your group, especially with big outreach and tabling events coming up for Earth Day's 50th anniversary and our annual conference just around the corner. Many chapters may be in need of support in figuring out how to manage those local funds. So tonight's training is going to walk you through various ways to raise and manage money in your group for things like chapter activities and conference scholarships. We are going to have a wonderful guest speaker join us tonight. After a 44-year career in education and computer services, Jean Rytok decided that her life now belongs to the community. Jean set out in May 2016 to identify points of high leverage where concentrated action could make a big difference in addressing climate change, dissolving the barriers that divide people, and empowering individuals and teams. Jean has joined CCL in August 2016 and is actively promoting, empowering, and supporting the organization through her leadership of the Raleigh-Durham chapter in North Carolina, as well as the many coaching opportunities that she's providing group leaders throughout the country. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Jean. With that, we have a really straightforward agenda, as I alluded to. We're going to first focus on a general overview, kind of the 30,000-foot recommendations and considerations. We'll walk through the step-by-step of, if you should so choose, how to actually open up a bank account with your local chapter. And then Jean is going to zoom in and really provide some nuts and bolts details on how to really manage money at a group level with some great recommendations, some email templates, and some sample even spreadsheets that you can use to track your own finances. So with that, let's jump right in. So a general overview, I think, begins with just a little bit more background about CCL groups and their overall managing money approach. So I think it's really key to highlight that CCL groups are very creative about finding low-cost ways to get work done. We all know that. And 90% of our groups really manage finances informally and spend less than about $1,000 a year even. Most spend even less than $500. So again, this advice tonight is really in-depth, and you can take and pick what works best for you with your needs, wherever you might be listening in tonight. But just know overall, keeping things simple and informal is also perfectly acceptable. And it also allows, we know, more time to be spent on building actions towards building political will. We also know this, as chapters grow in size and capacity, they find it useful to open a bank account or introduce more accountability into the processes that we'll be reviewing. So this lets them take on bigger projects, like raising funds to help members go to lobby days in DC or any other local regional conferences, you name it. And should you start deciding to fundraise locally, we're going to review that tonight. But if you're also interested in fundraising for national CCL or National Citizens Climate Education, we actually have a separate training for that. That one's called Raise Funds for CCL National, and a link is provided in these slides as well as on the training page. And the other key thing that we did want to highlight just overall is that groups often wonder if they can raise money for their needs through CCL by having people donate money earmarked for their group. And I think a really important point of clarification in managing money training is just that, unfortunately, due to the complications of what that would entail with managing hundreds of different groups, we can't do that without jeopardizing our own outstanding audit reports. And that's necessary, obviously, for us to continue to receive major grant funding from the foundations we have. So that means that the national office is unable to do that. And that's why we're talking about alternatives tonight. One other point of clarification is in what often comes up when people are curious about nonprofit donations, on the national level at least. What's the difference between a 501c3 and a 501c4? So Citizens Climate Lobby, the main arm of what all of us are known for, is a 501c4 nonprofit organization. And as such, a C4 organization can engage in unlimited lobbying so long as it pertains to our organization's mission. And donations made to Citizens Climate Lobby, a C4, are not tax deductible. Now, on the other hand, our educational arm, CCE, is a C3 nonprofit. And C3s are not allowed to endorse or oppose political candidates, which we don't do either way, or donate money or time to political campaigns. and they're also permitted to lobby for only a very small percentage of time. So with that, let's talk about really when to fundraise. So the first thing that the development team wanted me to make sure to highlight tonight is they have a favor, and that is, unlike a lot of organizations, we know how annoying it can be constantly asked for money throughout the year. And as a result, CCL and CCE really only ask for money two different distinct periods in the year. The year-end appeal from the end of November through December, and then in March. And because of that, because we want to honor the fact of only asking in those windows, what we're asking is for local groups to coordinate with us by fundraising in those other 9 months then. And so refraining from fundraising during March, November, and December is ideal, and including communications outside of that in your chapter's efforts to fundraise is key. So just a key highlight there, since we are about to get into the March season, feel free to get things up and running with your systems and then hold off again until April. So with that, here's a couple of other general overviews that Gene is going to do a much more thorough job of demonstrating in a in-group demonstration in just a little bit. But in terms of handling finances, however you raise your money, it's really important that you're making sure to handle the funds with care. And what CCL recommends in order to do that is that two or more people are always in charge of really having a window into how the chapter is managing it. So both when it comes in and when it goes out. And you could call these positions treasurers. The responsibilities of that role could include anything from overseeing your chapter's checking account, whether you have that set up with the bank as an entity or within an individual's personal checking account, itemizing expenses on a spreadsheet to share with the broader chapter. So again, there's that visibility and transparency. Making sure that more than one person's involved in the signing off process for making purchases, and as well in the reimbursement process. And Gene and the Raleigh-Durham chapter have a wonderful system that they've set up that they're going to demonstrate in just a little bit of what that actually looks like in action. But the important thing really in highlighting this from the broad overview level is that we want to provide strong transparency. We want to help assure donors on the local level that their money is being handled well while protecting the people that are handling it too. So that should there be any kind of suspicion or accusations made, we can highlight with that audit, hey, look, everything is copacetic exactly as we've said we've done. So with that, let's also quickly talk about just ideas for raising money for conference scholarship. There's a lot of great ideas out there within the CCL universe, and here is a quick overview of some of the approaches. We know overall that national as well as regional conferences offer volunteers in your chapter a really wonderful life-changing experience, right? To connect with CCL volunteers, to meet with their members of Congress, to deepen their skills and knowledge, and to return back and energize our groups feeling more committed and inspired than ever. We also know that that can be a barrier given the expense. And so for many people, knowing that there is a possibility to actually help people with those traveling expenses makes it easier for them to decide whether to attend a conference. And so the conference fees reflect a subsidy, as you can see as you're registering for the June conference, so that every registrant is set up well below the cost of the actual putting on the event. And many groups have found it helpful to actually do additional fundraising of their own members to help get them and cover lodging, transportation, food, other preparations for clothing, even you name it. And in order to do that, here's a couple of other suggestions for fundraisers you can do at the local level. The simplest way is obviously informally passing the hat in one of your meetings to collect money for your members who are going. And again, beyond that, a lot of other creative approaches that groups have volunteered include hotel and airline points. People that who have extra of them can use them to subsidize lodging or transportation for a particular volunteer by helping buy their ticket and using those points. You could also, as a group, decide to put on an event and invite everyone you know to help send your own local lobbyists from your community to represent them in DC. Beyond that, though, crowdfunding platforms are wonderful and really easy technologies. So anything from individuals using GoFundMe to solicit donations. If you do use GoFundMe, don't select TCE as the recipient because we can't earmark donated funds. So you do want to make sure to have your local chapter be the main recipient when you're setting it up. To other platforms like Venmo and Zelle, Gene's going to walk through specifically what that looks like with their chapter's use of Venmo. And you can also use Facebook fundraisers as well. Keep in mind, though, a lot of these online platforms do deduct a small percentage of their donation to help generate the campaign. The other two areas that I just wanted to highlight is that local coordinators can help really be able to decide who's going and keep track of who are the applicants. So having somebody really manage this process on the chapter level makes it easier for you to figure out how to coordinate and room share, or even, you know, carpool over there, whether that's on the chapter level, the metro level, the state level. Just having that communication across chapter or chapters is really going to be able to pool your resources in an effective way. And then lastly, we also have a conference room share form. So for the regional level and the national level, if people are looking to connect to make travel plans together, it's a great place. We've highlighted it here on this slide with the link. You can also just search in community for those terms and be directed right to that. The key thing with the room share form is that you have to sign and check a little consent waiver online for that form to appear for you. And so if you have any issues accessing it or finding it, feel free to reach out to me. But you should be directed right to that consent form when you search for the page. All right, so I have one more section, and then I will pass it to Gene. And that is specifically on the details of opening up a bank account for those chapters that are interested or have always maybe been curious but haven't taken that next step. And just again, a quick preface, this isn't a requirement for any chapter to do local fundraising. This is, again, an involved process that, should you take it on, is a really helpful tool for those that have set their own bank account up as a group, but by no means is it a prerequisite for raising your own local funds. So let's start in by just thinking about, overall, if you need to open a bank account, if your group does an assessment and that's what you determine, you need a EIN number as well as filing an appropriate tax status with the IRS. And in order to do that, you need to also make sure to formalize your chapter's name and follow a series of administrative steps basically online on the IRS website that I'll walk through in just a little bit. You need to make sure to designate a point of contact, normally the treasurer or whoever you might have as your local group leader, and they must be willing to list their social security number and their personal address on the application form because they're the one that is now going to be responsible for filing an annual tax return. This has spiraled into a lot of details all of a sudden very quickly. So know that there is some involved steps in order to make this happen. And the key thing is that donations to your local chapter will not be tax deductible. Also, you will not have to pay taxes on the revenue you raise, however. So with that, let's look at how you do that. So to start, to get your EIN number, I'm going to walk you through the process of applying for one on the IRS website. EIN stands for Employer Identification Number. It's just really used by the IRS for all organizations, regardless of whether they actually even have employees. But once you get that number, we'll walk you through then how to take it to the bank or the credit union or the savings and loan office, wherever you'd like to open your account. So with that, let's start by going to the IRS website. And there's a link that is in these slides. You can easily go there. You can also just type in sa.www4.irs.gov, and that should get you there. And once you're in the IRS website, I'll just kind of give you a step-by-step for the five areas that you need to click. So step one, this is what the landing page looks like. You'll land there. It's all about, you know, setting up an EIN so you know you're in the right spot. You just click on this little Begin Application button. Boom. That'll take you to a new page there where, from the menu of additional types, you're going to click this bottom option that says View Additional Types Including Tax Exempt and Governmental Organizations. There you go. Once you get there and click Next, you'll then go to the very bottom of this list again. You can see all these additional types that the IRS identifies as tax exempt. The one that we're going to determine is other nonprofits. So we click that little dial, and then we click continue again. All right, step four, cruising along. From there, you're going to say to the IRS, the reason I'm doing all this is because I simply want to have a bank account. So you click this middle bar option, and then from there, click continue. And then after that, you'll just have to start filling out whoever your treasurer's designated name, social security number is. the authorization that they are willing to be responsible as the officer having knowledge of the organization's financial affairs, you name it. You'll click continue, and then they would identify their personal information in terms of where that filing will be sent from, normally just the home address. So with that information, again, the key thing after you've got that EIN is that you can take it to wherever you're choosing to set up your account, and they'll be able to open up a chapter for you, the account as an unincorporated association. Now, each state probably has additional requirements. We're not going to get into all 50 variations of that, but you might have to look that up with the help of your bank or your credit union if you're interested. But we also recommend, as you're opening this account, to have those two signers show up together for the greater accountability that we mentioned. And if your institution is also looking, you know, as a bank for an organizing document, we've got a simple example on this training page that you can use as a boilerplate too. The last thing that I wanted to highlight after you've opened up this bank account is this. So you're going to receive your EIN number instantly. You're going to have to then make sure that you file a Form 8976, a really easy to remember number, which is a simple registration that you can submit online as well, but it comes with a $50 user fee. And what that does is basically notify the IRS that you officially exist, you're claiming C4 status. The key is that you have to file it within 2 months, basically 60 days of when you've initiated this EIN process, to avoid penalties. And if you're looking for that link, you can easily Google it or go right to this training page and get the link to the file as well. If you have any questions about this whole process of bank accounts that I've just gone over, we recommend that you contact our Chief Financial Officer, Olivia, at olivia@citizensclimate.org. And we also really want to encourage groups from forming C3s. So as again, we've distinguished this earlier, but for the sake of simplicity, C4 is the much simpler way to go. The last thing I'll also highlight is that if you do plan on having a large amount of money from a fundraiser, you know, $1,000 plus, we discourage you from having an individual open a bank account in their name, because that income then is subject to income tax and could be problematic for that individual situation. So that's always an important consideration too. All right, with that though, I'm gonna get out of the way and let the real show tonight take over so that we can enjoy learning from the wisdom of the Raleigh-Durham chapter as led by Jean. So,
hello everybody, my name is Jean Rytok. I'm co-leader of the Raleigh-Durham chapter here in North Carolina. And my topic today is fundraising and accounting, raising money for your CCL chapter. This is the nuts and bolts edition. The practical things you'll need, such as ideas for how to go about step-by-step making the ask, who to ask, how to account for the money, how to reimburse, all those steps, etc. And we've given it to you in such a way that you can adapt it to your circumstances, including a spreadsheet to do all the accounting. So with that in mind, let's dive in here. The first thing about raising money is to confront that most people have something in the back of their mind saying, I hate to ask people for money. Or something like this. People would probably go to the Washington, D.C. conference, the Lobby Day conference, but they can't afford it, it's too expensive. Or they might have a thought like, well, our tabling doesn't look so great, but it's all we can afford right now. So it's easy to really get disempowered around money, but instead you could stretch your comfort zone, a familiar thing in Citizens Climate Lobby for every volunteer, stretch your comfort zone and say instead something like this: I say that money is not going to be a barrier for anyone in this chapter who wants to go to Washington, D.C., or for us to have an attractive tabling kit, or for whatever it is, the need that you have. I say it's possible to raise the money to fill that need. Okay, and start from there. Great. So now what do you do after that? Well, first you get clear about what's needed.
You start by letting people know in your chapter that you're going to support them, because there's probably a suppression on some people's part too, that maybe they do want to go to Washington, but they're wondering like how they can afford it. So if finances might be inhibiting people from even considering doing some of these things, so you need to let people know that, you know, we offer scholarships for people who want to go to Washington, or we'll raise money to support people who want to go to Washington. We'll contribute to your travel expenses. We'll contribute to your registration, so that people know. But you also need to have them commit. So for example, for Washington, they need to register, and then you can start raising the money. So it's kind of like a mutual commitment. The next thing is to ask them, like, or have them get clear, exactly how much money do they need? You know, have them take a look. We need dollar amounts before we can start raising money. Same thing for like supplies for tabling. Have your tabling team or your tabling person like estimate, do a little research on the internet and on Amazon and find out like how much is it gonna cost to get us a tent, a table, etc., and come up with an amount. So like you have, like we need $500, we need $300, etc. And also make it really clear to the people in your chapter that you're gonna support with financial, you know, means, that you're gonna support with money to, that you're going to agree an amount with them, a not to exceed amount, up to this amount you will reimburse. You need to let them know what kinds of expenses are eligible and that they're going to need to save receipts to submit for reimbursement. Usually that's pretty simple, but if you miss this up front, it can cause trouble later on. So make sure you're clear about that. All right, so now you've figured out how much you need, and now it's time to design your fundraising program. And so you need to think about who are you going to ask, and I'm going to give you recommendations about each one of these, how you're going to collect the money, and how you're going to reimburse approved expenses. So first, who to ask? Well, we suggest sending an email ask to your entire chapter roster. And the reason is this: a lot of people might not be active in your chapter because, you know, they're busy, their lifestyle doesn't allow it, etc. But giving money might be a way they can contribute and that they would find very satisfying. Of course, your ask needs to be carefully worded so that it's clear, even to those who haven't been active, what you're doing, what you're asking for, and how the money is going to be used. So I'll give you more on that later on. Second, how are you going to collect the money? So we suggest keeping things simple. Our chapter uses the Venmo app. You can Google it, V-E-N-M-O. It's available on the phone and on laptops, and it's linked to the bank account for us of one of our trusted members. So if your accounting processes are tight, you can make this work. If you're not comfortable with using a trusted member's bank account, then you can set up a chapter bank account as described in CCL Community, where it's called Managing Money in Your Group. If you use Venmo, you can accept donations via Venmo, or you can have donors U.S. mail, like just snail mail you a check to the person who's managing the bank account. And how you will reimburse expenses, we suggest using Venmo to reimburse, or you can also use snail mail by just mailing somebody a reimbursement check. So now with all of that worked out, what are some good ways to ask? And I'm going to give you a couple examples. We like to say that some people don't have time for CCL, but would love to financially support specific CCL activities. All we have to do is clearly ask and make it easy to give. So we suggest sending an email ask. It puts all the information in one place. It makes it easy for potential donors to say yes. And a little trick here is to put all the names that you're sending it to in the blind CC section of the email. And that way, when people reply with questions and that sort of thing, it only goes to the sender and not to everybody on the list. Spend some time on the wording of the ask. And again, a couple of examples are going to be below. And here's what needs to be included. First, you need to have a message title that gets potential donors to open your email. Yeah, enough said about that. You need to inspire your audience with the need and do it in a few words. And you need to offer them an opportunity to help. And finally, you need to have everything in your email that readers need to know to respond positively. Make it easy for your donors so that they know how to donate, what to do next. Yeah, make it easy, so straightforward. So here is an actual email that our chapter sent out. And the title was, Seeking $500 to Send Our CCL Team Members to Washington Lobby Day. And here's what we said. Fellow climate supporters, we're so impressed with the teen leaders who have joined our chapter recently. They're known at their high schools as climate leaders and are known to us by speaking out about living their adult lives in the changing climate we're leaving them. Three teens are now registered for the Washington, D.C. Lobby Day, November 11 and 12. Young people always get special attention in lobby meetings, and these articulate young people are perfectly suited for that. We are looking for $500 to help fund the trip for several of these teens. Can you help? To be clear, these donations are not tax deductible, sorry. If you are a Venmo user, you can transfer your donation to, and then you give them the account name that they need to look for. And that person will reimburse the teen's expenses from funds received. If you want to give more traditionally, forward this message to an email address for further instructions. And that's where you put the email, the place that they can mail a check and how to make out the check and that sort of thing. Thanks for being part of this important work. Now, as always, it takes a village. And we are a resourceful village that makes things happen. And here's a second example, passing the hat. I'm not going to go into it right here. You can read this slide deck will be there, but it's a similar thing. Now we're resourceful. This is one way you can help. Here's how to do it with a similar mechanism below. Either give through Venmo or forward this message to an email for further instructions as to where to mail the check and who to make it out to. So then you send out the ask, and then as people respond, you send appreciation and respect to each one of them promptly, like by return email. Just read it and immediately get back to them and thank them for it. Keep track of pledge amounts and who made them, because you'll need to maybe follow up with some people. Once sufficient pledges have been received, wait a day or two and send out a message ending the ask. So we like to close out our ask when it's clear that we will meet our goal. So the day or two gives a chance for the checks to arrive, and maybe you go over your goal a little bit, so to guarantee your success. Okay, so then here's examples of ending the ask. We sent out an email that said, raised $500 to send our team members to Washington Lobby Day. Thanks to all who considered and responded to our request. We now have receipts and checks being mailed to meet our goal. Thanks for making it easy. Generosity smooths many paths. Okay, so there's also connected with this presentation, there is a workbook, a set of spreadsheets for you to track things and make your activities auditable by a third party. It's called the Fundraising and Accounting Workbook, and it's available on Community in the Managing Money in Your Group section. And it has three sheets. I'm going to show you those later on, and we're going to go through what's on them. There's a sheet for your check register. That's kind of like a high-level summary of everything. There's a sheet for expense detail, a sheet for income detail, and we also have a volunteer from our chapter, Libby Searles-Bowes, who's willing to support you if you have any questions or technical details working with the spreadsheet. There's her email right there, libbycyrilsbowes@gmail.com. So as donations come in via Venmo or via checks coming in the mail, you let donors know as soon as you receive them and you thank them again. And then you promptly deposit any checks and record each donation in the income detail spreadsheet and the check register spreadsheet. I'll show you those in a minute. You make a copy of the checks that were deposited and you store the hard copy for later reference. Again, that's so that you can easily let a third party check what's been going on and be comfortable that everything is balancing. So what do you do for reimbursing? Well, you've already made it clear ahead of time to the people that you've pledged money to that they're going to need receipts to get reimbursement, because that's a, yeah, that's a hard and fast rule. You've made clear what kinds of expenses we're going to reimburse, how you'll be getting the reimbursement to them. And you've also, you can now tell them that electronic receipts are acceptable. You know, if they have hard copy, they can scan it and email it to you. Or if they have some kind of an email or electronic version of their receipt, forwarding that to you is also acceptable. And when they submit those receipts, first you look them over to see that they match what we agreed to. And I like to say it's okay to be picky about this because, you know, we need to take things seriously when we're spending our donors' money. We want our donors to trust us in the future. So we need to make sure that what we told them and how we're acting with their money match up. Store the receipts for auditability in the cloud. We use Google Drive. And we give each one a file name that starts with its date. And that way it's easy to find things later when you're trying to, if you have any questions. And we like to use the date format with the four-digit year, two-digit month, and two-digit date. And that way they kind of automatically line up in date sequence when you're looking at them on the computer. Each expense and reimbursement gets recorded in the expense detail spreadsheet and the check register spreadsheet. We like using Venmo to reimburse, and if the spender doesn't have Venmo, we ask them to set up an account. If they're not comfortable with that, fine. We'll snail mail them a check. Venmo, you can reimburse somebody like same day. A check takes a little while. Keep it auditable. Our trusted volunteer who's handles all this for us, links Venmo to their personal checking account. Each CCL entry is clearly marked in their checkbook as CCL related, and at any time, the fundraising and accounting workbook's check register spreadsheet documents how much CCL money is in the trusted volunteer's personal checking account. Copies of all the machine-readable receipts and copies of all the emails that approved expenses are stored in the cloud. That is, for us, it's on Google Drive. And again, everything, the emails that approved their expenses as well as their receipts are stored with a file name that starts with their date. Only the members of your chapter who are authorized for accounting are given access to this information. Money is spent only on items that the money was raised for. That's very important. And no reimbursement without first submitting a receipt. There's no exceptions to this because it's trust building. And finally, a very small number of people are authorized for accounting and can see all the accounting transactions. You need more than one person just for checks and balances, but you don't want very many. So maybe two or three people. Especially the donor information needs to be held in confidence. So two or three people, that's fine. That's it. Now you can raise money for your CCL chapter. So I'm going to share my screen now and show you the fundraising and accounting workbook. And although it opens up to the check register, I like to start with the income detail sheet. You can see the sheets down here at the bottom of the page, because usually you'll first be raising money and then spending it. So for income detail, you know, you just fill this out. Now there are various formulas on here to check that everything is balancing, and we've marked them in the yellow cells here. So you don't want to be messing with those formulas. You know, it's pretty straightforward. You put the donor's name here. You put the amount there they donated, the date you received it, the date you deposited, the form of the donation. If it's a Venmo transfer, you know, they send it over to you and boom, you have it. That's it. What fund it's for right now, in this particular example, there's a fund for tabling supplies and a fund for CCL teens to DC. When it went into the treasurer's checking account, when the date the donor was acknowledged, where was the documentation stored, and the donor contact information. So those are the various pieces of information that you need to gather for each donation. And then you go over to the check register and you put in the details about the check or about the donation. This would be an addition to your bottom line. And then when you're paying out expenses, there are subtractions. So you can sort of see them here. Here's another donation of $275 and then a reimbursement of $90.94, et cetera. So you enter the details here so that you have a running total of what's in the checking account, what's in Venmo, and how much has been spent on within each of your funds. And then I'm going over to the expense detail now. So when someone asks for a reimbursement, you come over here and you put the date that they were reimbursed, the name of the person who incurred the expense, the amount that they're asking for, the fund it's going to be coming from, how much was paid from Venmo, the date of prior approval to spend. That meant you, at some time, somewhere along the way, you said, yes, we're going to do this in an email, and you've kept that email, so that makes it easy to confirm that you agreed ahead of time to the spending. Where is the approval documentation? Okay, this early one, we didn't store it. Expenses for tabling copies, the date the spender acknowledged the reimbursement. So when did they get it? They said, yes, I got it. Where are the receipts stored, and any notes that you have about the transaction? So you fill those out here, and then you go over to the check register and fill the columns out over there about a reimbursement. The date, the description, the amount, the form of the transaction, Venmo transfer out, the fund, the amount. And so, see, the reason it has a Venmo and a checking account is that Venmo, when Venmo doesn't have any further money in its balance, it dips into the checking account that is associated with it. So that's why a checking account transaction would apply here. Okay. And then you see the balances here. So that's it. This example would be for your use. Again, up here it says if there are any questions or issues when you're using this, contact Libby. There's her information. And she's a wizard at these sorts of things and can help untangle any or explain further any questions. So I guess that's it. Yeah, now you can raise money for your chapter. You have a lot of the tools to get started, and like, don't make lack of money stop you from doing your CCL activities. It's out there. You just have to ask for it. Thank you.
Brilliant. All right. And again, if you have any questions after tonight, Jean did highlight how you can get a hold of the spreadsheet magic that we have available through the wonderful Libby. And you can always post things in the forum where there's actually a good discussion happening right now about how different chapters are managing their money. So you can always kind of find out a bit more information there too, or share your own experiences after tonight's training. But with that, I'd love to just close by highlighting how darn grateful we are to have Jean Rytok and all of the advice that you provided and really walked us through tonight, Jean. So thank you, thank you, thank you for putting together a really wonderful presentation and being to uplift just the ability for us to think through this and what it looks like on a local level.
Yes, you're absolutely welcome.
And thank all of you for making time to join us. We hope that you found tonight's training empowering and that all of us are going to just go forth and raise money with all success. And thanks again for being here, everyone, tonight. It was great to see you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.